All right, looking at power and authority and understanding that we're talking about power and authority through in the spirit world, okay? And we've looked at how not to speak things you don't have the power to enforce, but the things you do have power to enforce, be confident in that. Don't be intimidated by the devil. You understand? Be confident in who you are in Christ. And you have to have a good understanding of authority. Do you believe you have authority? See, a lot of people can read Mark 16 and say, well, I believe that, but that's for them. You know, they have a special anointing or whatever. You know, so often that's the way it's viewed, is only people with special anointings can do this or do that. But what does he say? These signs will follow those who believe. And in John 14:12, Jesus said that those who believe in him, not the apostles, not the prophets, not, he didn't put some ministry gift in there. He said those who believed in him would do the works that he did. So it's a fact of believing in the authority that's been given to us. Now, here's what you have to understand. Jesus, when you look at the 16th chapter of John especially, he's talking about our authority is in his name. In other words, his power of attorney. He's given us the power of attorney to use his name. It's not your anointing. It's his name that gives you authority. Okay? And so, you're actually operating as an extension of Jesus. Paul says we're ambassadors of Christ. What's an ambassador? Just an extension of the nation. So what authority is he operating with? The authority that the nation gives him. So we're operating with the authority that's been given to us by Jesus. So everything that we do in word or deed is to be done in the name of Jesus. It's to be done under his authority. The devil is not afraid of me. And the devil is not afraid of you. I didn't whip him and you didn't. But Jesus did. You understand? So he knows that he has to submit to that authority. And so I have to be under that authority. You have to be under that authority in order for the authority to work. And here again, you can't just act presumptuously. You can't go outside the Scriptures and do things that Jesus didn't do in his ministry or the Scriptures don't teach by principle. And a lot of people just do a lot of things presumptuously, like the seven sons of Sceva. And doing things presumptuously gets you in trouble. And then it gives God a bad name to those outside saying, well, that faith stuff doesn't work, or, you know, that stuff's not true. They're just using that as a crutch. In denial, all this type thing. But the Word of God's true. But we have to get submitted to that Word. We have to know the Word and then not violate the parameters of our authority. Stay inside your parameters. You know, in the military, I had some certain rank, and that rank gave me certain privilege. But my authority, I was assigned, I was over a particular area. My authority was in that area. If I went into another area, even if the person was lower ranking, they had authority in that area. Does that make sense to you? It's like, so let's say somebody that is profound, apostle, prophet, goes into a local church. Who's the authority of that local church? The oversight. So no other gift has the right to go in and usurp the authority of the oversight that is a violation. You with me? So we have to stay under the authority that God has given us. What's God given me? He's given me the name of Jesus. But I can't go beyond what I hear or I won't believe it. Nor can I go beyond the power that's working in me. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which you're able to ask or think according to. You get the according to. The power that's working in you. Well, He's talking about the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, guess what? There's not a whole lot going to be happening, is there? Because it's according to the power that works in us. Let's be full of the Holy Spirit. That's the one that gives us the power to enforce our authority. You will receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. The Holy Spirit comes first. That's why we need to put great emphasis on the Holy Spirit. You need to be full of the Holy Spirit. You're going to operate with power and authority, then you're going to need the Holy Spirit. And speaking beyond your power is like writing a check with insufficient funds. The bank's not going to cover it, and heaven's not going to cover it. You understand? God is not going to back something that He did not initiate. You speaking outside the parameters of Word, God is nothing. There's no obligation to back that. Here again, it's not that God puts His stamp of approval on you. God watches over His Word. You understand? He's obligated to His Word. He's not obligated to me. And a lot of people have the idea that it's their great calling, their great anointing, they're this or they're that. No, God honors His Word. And we're to honor the Word of God. And when we do that, and we consciously know what's going on, we know we have authority over the devil, then the devil has to honor that Word. But if you don't believe it, he won't honor it. Because there has to be an enforcer. And it's the power in you that's enforcing that. It goes back to writing a check. If you write a check with insufficient funds, that check can be challenged. Especially this day and time when it's immediate. As a matter of fact, this morning when I stopped at the grocery store, there was a guy in there trying to buy something with a check. And I don't know what the situation was, but I know that the cashier got the manager and they denied him. You have to have authority. And evidently, that wasn't authorized. So consequently, he was rejected. And you know, we have to, again, stay in the parameters. You can't operate in authority that's not authorized. The Spirit world operates just like the bank. Power has to be coupled with authority. If I'm going to write a check, I need to have the funds to back the check. You understand? You do understand? Okay. If you don't, I'm going to tell you don't write a check that you don't have the funds to cover. It will come back on you with interest. Okay? So our power has to be coupled with authority. Otherwise, what we're saying is futile. It's not going to get anything accomplished. Okay? Now, let's look at the commission preceding the authority. God's call and God's commission are not the same. The call, if you look at the word calling, it's invitation. God invites us to come to Him for the purpose of learning from Him or and being equipped by Him. But God's not going to send you out for him without proper equipment or proper training. You understand? So the call of God is come to me, learn of me, be equipped of me. And then once that occurs, then God commissions. Now, if God commissions you, God is backing you with power. Your commission is your authority. And whoever commissioned you is the power. That's the power of that authority. It's like ordaining a minister. If an organization ordains the minister, then that minister's operating with the power of that organization. If God ordains that minister's operating with the power of the kingdom of God. There is a difference. One's natural, one's spiritual, which is supernatural. So you can go out and say, well, I'm ordained by such and such an organization. Tell the devil that. It's not going to impress him at all. You understand? He knows whether or not we know our commission, if we're operating in it. And the interesting thing about it, you know, Jesus said many are called, few are chosen. Many are called, few are commissioned to go. Why is that? Because people don't want to subject themselves to the training. They don't want to stay around long enough to get equipped. And especially, you know, this society, they want everything fast, 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 fast. How fast can I get through? It's amazing to me in this college, people will call me and say, well, how fast, how long will it take me to get my degree? Well, that's the wrong question. We're not here about degrees. We're here about the Word of God. I don't know that I've ever had anybody to ask me, how long will it take me to get full of the Word? Because you identify yourself. You tell me then that your interest is not in the Word, your interest is in a piece of paper. And that piece of paper is not going to help you with the devil. You can wave your ordination or your degree or your diploma in his face all you want to. He's not afraid of that. What do you know in your heart? That's your power. If you don't submit to God's will and purpose, God's not about to commission you. You understand? Would you want somebody out representing you that hasn't spent time with you and knows you that would properly represent you? Going out using your name to do things? I don't want people going out using my name unless they know me and have permission to use my name. So, the call of God really carries no authority with it. But the commission of God carries the authority. That's why we stay around with God until He commissions us to go. And if you haven't been commissioned, you're not entrusted with authority. And I've seen people step out, try to step out ahead of God. And it's always a disaster. You understand? It's frustration. Because you're having to do everything naturally. And this is a problem with ministry. Ministry today as a whole is viewed as natural. It's even called a profession. You didn't know I was a professional, did you? See, it's been reduced from spiritual to natural. And then we take and flippantly use the word man of God. I believe that word is reserved for men of God. Men who are operating by God. And, you know, I've had people say, hey, you know, this is really a thing in Africa. Man of God, man of God, man of God. And a lot of times I'm saying, man of the world, man of the world, man of the world. Because if you was a man of God, you wouldn't be taking God's name in vain. You understand, we need to be cautious with all this stuff. And just understand there's a difference between man commissioning you and God commissioning you. God's commissioning you is not dependent upon you completing a course of study. Ordination of men is dependent upon that. God's commission is dependent upon you submitting to God and keeping yourself humble before God to where God can use you to do His work. You're just giving the house to Him to use. And I've had the Lord to check me on some things before. What do you want me to do? Wrong question. Lord, what do you want to do with me? You understand? It's just a matter of keeping things focused in the proper perspective. Only God is able to commission a person to go forth with power and authority over spirits, over the devil. Only God can do that. You understand? But when God sends you out, you have the commission. You have the authority. But you can't withdraw from the power. When you go out with authority, you want to make sure you stay connected to the power. If you don't, Satan will laugh at you. It takes both. It's not just one thing. It takes both power and authority to get things accomplished for the kingdom of God. You have to go out with God's power. If I go out with God's power, do you know what's going to happen? God's going to be doing some things through me. Okay? It's God working. And the work is going to be supernatural, not natural. I don't know if you've noticed this, but many ministries have gone from operating with the power of God to feeding the hungry and digging wells and stuff like that. Why is that? They've grown away from the power source. They can do this naturally. The other requires time with God. The other requires a communion, a fellowship, to where you're actually hearing God and doing what God says to do. But those are the people that are powerful for God. I'd rather have somebody with a third grade education had been in the presence of God than a man with 10 doctorate degrees behind his name. Give me the person that's been with the Lord. See, that's what they noticed about Peter and John. Ignorant, unlearned. That's how society viewed them. The religious order, they're ignorant, unlearned. They hadn't been to our Bible college. They don't know anything. But they did take notice. They've been with Jesus. Why is that? Because the power of God was being manifest. They were operating with authority and power. That's what got the crippled man healed. The name of Jesus and faith in the name of Jesus, and God backed that by His power. That's what healed the man. You understand? And we have to learn these things. The authority is in the name of Jesus, but it's limited to those who are actually in relationship with Him if we're going to be very successful at this. Now, I understand Matthew 7 says, many's going to say, didn't we prophesy in Your name? Didn't we cast out devils? There's an element that they can do because they believe in the name. That can be challenged. But Jesus said, I never knew you. Not I knew you and you left me. He said, I never knew you. That shows you how powerful the name is, the authority that's vested in the name of Jesus. But we want the power of God to where we're operating the way God wants us to operate, to where we're excellent representatives for the Lord. I don't like misrepresentation, and I don't want to misrepresent. And in order not to misrepresent, I need a good understanding of the one I'm representing. You know, there's times, you know, like just in the secular work, when I was supposed to do something, I may ask now, is this what you're asking for? I want to be certain that I'm doing the right thing? Or how much more should it be with the Lord to be certain that this is what the Lord is wanting done? Thank God for the authority in the name of Jesus. Thank God that you and I have been given the privilege of entering into a relationship with the Son of God Himself, to where God lives on the inside of us. And God has not called us to be imitators of other people, of other ministries. There's a difference between a voice and an echo. I was just telling someone today, I was listening to a guy on the radio, and he quoted the scripture verbatim and said, "This is what Brother so-and-so says." And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Does this man not know that the Bible says that? Now you're not a voice. Now you're an echo. You're saying what somebody else says. God's not looking for echoes. God's looking for people that hear Him and verbalize what He says. You hear, speak. That's what we all should be, voices of God. The body of Christ is God's mouth. You understand? We're speaking for God. And I think a lot of people don't understand that they are actually speaking for God into the lives of other people. That's why it's extremely important that you hear God before you start talking into other people's lives. This, "I've got a word for you, and I got a word for you, and I got a word for you." Well, you may have, but does God have a word for me? That's the thing that counts. It's not, do you have? Because if God has, God will back that word with power. It will be a true word when it's coming from the heart of the Father, if I can say it that way. But if we're going to use the name of Jesus effectively, you have to know the person. And I'm talking about an intimate relationship with the Lord. If you're going to go out for me, I want you to know me. The Scriptures say, "Know those who labor among you." A lot of people will tell you they know me. They don't know me. They haven't spent time with me. They don't know me. They can tell you some things I do. They may tell you some habits. They may tell you that I use the phrase, "That dog won't hunt." But do they really know me? Do they know my heart? See, a lot of times you can miss something. You're hearing words and you're not hearing the heart that's being spoken. It's like with the nation of Israel. God would send the prophet. They're out of line. God would send the prophet to correct them because God loved them so much. He did not want them to be destroyed. They didn't hear love. They heard rebuke. You see the difference? To the point, shut up. We don't want to hear you. Tell us what we want to hear. Don't correct us. And see, you don't know the Father. You're not hearing the Father because you're not hearing the heart of the Father. What's the objective? What's His motive behind all this? And see, the whole purpose of giving us power and authority to use this spiritual authority is because what motivates God is love, His love for people. So the power and the authority that God grants us is to be used in behalf of people, not to hurt people. And really, people isn't our problem. Our adversary is the devil. And we have power and authority against the adversary. The believer's authority is against the devil, not against another believer. Oh, well, I appreciate your enthusiasm anyway. We must also know and understand that commission is not all-inclusive. Even the commission must be attentive to the voice of God. I know that God called me into the ministry. There's not a question in my mind about that. But I can't just operate in presumption. I know that the Word of God says that we lay hands on the sick and they recover. But I can't just act presumptuously. I've had two different people to tell me that they could go in a hospital and everybody get healed. And one, I told him he was a bald-faced liar. And the other one, I said, you don't believe that. If you did, you'd go over and empty the hospital. If you believe that word's true, get in your car and go to the hospital. Shame on you if you don't. See, that's acting presumptuously. Do you have the faith to do that? Faith comes by hearing God speak. If God tells you to empty the hospital, it'll be emptied if you obey. But if you just act presumptuously, you're going to go over and make a fool out of yourself. And that's what happens to a lot of people. And it's a misrepresentation of God. We go out without being authorized to do certain things. You know, even an ambassador of a country, he has to operate under authorization. And if something comes up that's out of the ordinary, then he'll have to get special permission. And until he hears that, he can't act on that, or he's in violation. And so often, people operate in violation of God. Just acted presumptuously. Well, I'm a Christian. The devil has to listen to me. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. What he has to listen to is God. If you're saying what God has spoken to you, he has to listen. But if you're just coming up with your own thing, then you're in for a rude awakening. Someone said something, let's go cast out some devils. I said, you out of your mind. That's stupid. Man, God didn't call me to go looking for devils. He called me to preach the gospel. Now, if the devil tries to interfere with that, then you deal with the devil. You with me? You deliver the captives. But you're delivering the captives by giving the message of God. You're out representing God. You're not out here trying to prove your great ministry and all your power and all that. That's not proving anything. It's going to prove to your detriment. So we have to operate in our commission. What's God authorized me today? For instance, God has called me in the ministry to oversee the church. But do you know which church I oversee? Not all the churches in town. I have no authority outside this place. Just like with this college. I have no authority to go down the street and start telling another college what to do. Well, you're teaching the wrong thing. I have no authority there. No jurisdiction. You know what happens with that? They can throw me out on my ears, you understand? They have the authority to do that because I'm trespassing. Now, if they invite me in to come and do a certain thing, then they've given me the authority to do that. So I can operate with that, but I can't exceed that. I had a man ask me if I would speak at his church on a Sunday morning, and they believed a little differently than I do. Concerning the Holy Spirit. He said, now you know we don't believe the Holy Spirit the way you do. I said, I know that. I won't violate you. I believe the Bible's big enough that God can find a message in there that will minister to the people. And He did, and they were ministered to. You understand? We had an excellent service. And I didn't violate God. As a matter of fact, you follow the Spirit of God. God's not going to tell you to go in there and destroy a person's church. That's not the way God operates. God will do as much as He can with the people. He's not going to go in there and slap you around. What He's going to do is try to get you built up, to get more Word in you. The more words you get in it, then you start getting hungry. You start thirsting after the Lord. And what are you doing? You stay around the creek bank long enough, you'll slip in. You understand? Don't violate. Operate in the parameters. Stay with the commission God's commissioned you. And here again, God's commission on you is not the same as it is on somebody else. We all have authority as believers. But then we're in different positions of authority, operating with different gifts and abilities, and so we have to stay in that commission, if you will. Does that make sense to you? God's not called me out here to go do great crusades and tents and all this type of stuff. That's not what He's called me to do. And you understand, I don't have the grace to do that. But I have the grace to do what I do. That'll tell you a whole lot. If what you're doing is wearing you out, there's a problem. It's not that you can't get your plate full, but it shouldn't be oppressing, depressing you and all that type of thing. Just have to manage better. I'm talking to myself. Okay. God's divine commission does not license one to act presumptuously, but it does give one the permission to act in the place of Jesus. We're the body of Christ. The body of Christ is Jesus' representation in earth. We have that authority as believers to represent Jesus in earth, in power, in authority. We have that privilege. Commission in ministry is simply hearing God speak concerning a particular person, a particular situation. Then you have the right to step out. In other words, I've been authorized. You know, there are times that the Lord will speak to me about a person. But how many of you have noticed that it's not something that we do every day? In other words, I'm not just going to say, well, I think I'll just go in here tonight and just speak into people's lives. Well, I think I'll come in here and teach. But I can only speak into you what God's given me if I'm going to say, this is God. And there's too many people using the name of Jesus when Jesus didn't do it. And he's getting a bad rap, you understand? And if I say anything to you, judge it. See if it came out of the flesh or if it came out of the Spirit. And if it didn't come out of the Spirit, don't pay any attention to it. And it should be that way with anyone. Because my authority and my power to speak into your life comes out of the Spirit. And if I'm not speaking out of the Spirit of God and I'm speaking into your life, I'm violating you. So you just be cautious. Everybody says, I got a word for you. I'll get off of that because I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of you. I had a lady to come to me and say, I've got a word. I got a word from the Lord for you. I said, okay. And to this day, I don't know what she said. Yeah. And the truth is, I don't think she knew what she said. I mean, it wasn't coherent. It was in English, but it wasn't coherent. I mean, it's not like it was a paragraph that made any sense. It's just like, I'm going to pick a word here, I'm going to pick a word here, I'm going to pick a word. I didn't have a clue. So you know what I do with that? I toss it. Now, I didn't dwell on her, you understand? Her zeal. She wanted to be used, but she didn't wait on God. You understand? And so often people step out. They have a zeal. I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God. And they step out before God sends them. Listen, if you don't get the commission first, you don't have the power back in you. Amen. Make sure you move with God, not ahead of God. Don't act presumptuously. You with me? Don't just assume, well, you know, God's going to honor me. God's not obligated to you. God is obligated to His Word. Make sure you hear the Word and step out with the Word of God. If you act without hearing, you're acting independently of God. And you know what happens? You don't have faith. It's a deception. Hear, then speak. Hear from God. Then be confident in the power and the authority that God's given you. And you step out with God. Pretty simple, isn't it? And don't be afraid to say, you know, somebody asks you, I've had people say, have you got a word for me? You know what I say? No. If I don't have, if God has not spoken to me about you, no, I don't have a word for you. Amen. You don't need to hear me saying anything. You need to hear God speaking. Amen. And I do not have the authority to speak into your life if God has not spoken to me. And no one else does. You guard your heart with all diligence. You be cautious with who lays hands on you and who speaks into your life. Okay? All right, we can cut that tape off and I'm going to tell you something else.